Good morning, everybody. Does everybody hear me? Okay. I once was a sinner, but I came pardon to receive from my Lord. This was freely given, and I found that He always kept His word. Oh, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home, for there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I'm bound for heaven, never more to roam. I was humbly kneeling at the cross, fearing not but God's angry frown, when the heavens opened and I saw that my name was written down. Oh, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home, for there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I'm bound for heaven, never more to roam. In the book 'tis written, saved by grace, oh, the joy that came to my soul. Now I am forgiven, and I know by the blood I am made whole. Oh, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. And the white-robed angels sing the story. A sinner has come home, for there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. With my sins forgiven, I am bound for heaven, never more to roam.
I always feel so tall after Joel sings. All right. Thank you. Appreciate that. I remember the day I got saved, and many of you can relate to that. Amen. What a day. What a day when you got on your knees. You didn't have to be on your knees, but in your heart you were. You said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I believe you died for me. Come into my heart and be my Savior. Amen. And what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. All right, thank you for that, Joel. Appreciate it. Take your Bibles, please, and let's turn to the book of John, chapter number 13 this morning. John, chapter number 13. I'm not preaching just to the, I'm not preaching on marriage this morning for Valentine's Day, but guys, don't forget to do something nice for your ladies, amen? Just that friendly little reminder. Or you may hear that still small voice. The neighbor got flowers. No. All right. John chapter number 13, if you would please, and I'll read this passage again. We just read through it, but just for a little sake of emphasis, let me read it this morning. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour was come, that He should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Certainly looking to the cross and the death and resurrection there. And Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. And verse 11 explains that not all, for he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. And so he is referring there to Judas, never having been cleansed, never having really trusted him. He went along for the ride, but not with the program. He didn't know the Lord as a Savior. And therefore, that void in his heart left a void open for Satan to fill. We saw that in verse number 2, Satan having put into his heart, the devil having put in his heart to betray him. He could put it into his heart because Jesus wasn't there. And he... Folks, when you leave a void in your life, something's going to fill it. And you better fill that void with Jesus. You better fill that void with Jesus. We've been preaching Sunday mornings about being found faithful. Being found faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. A steward is one unto whom responsibility of taking care of another's belongings or possessions has been given. And a steward was accountable to that person for whom he was keeping those things. And the Lord says, moreover, it's required in stewards, speaking of those with the gospel ministry, required in stewards that a man be found faithful. There's reckoning for all of us, where we will give an account of ourselves to the Lord. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every born-again Christian will stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of his life as a saved person. Every unsaved person will stand before God Almighty at the great white throne and give an account of his life or her life. If they haven't received Christ as their Savior, of course they'll be there and to give an account for every deed they did. And there's an accounting. Years ago, a preacher preached a message. His name was R.G. Lee, and he had a famous message that he preached across the country called Payday Someday, a day of reckoning. But here, thinking in terms of Christians, those who know the Lord as Savior, he says it's required in stewards, those of us to whom great responsibility has been given, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. When God comes looking, he wants to find us faithful. Today I've tailored my message to harmonize a little bit with the public theme of the week, that is that of love. But it's also still part of the broader theme of faithfulness. The title of my message this morning is Faithful to Love. Faithful to Love. I want you to notice verse number 1 again, if you would with me, please. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father. You know, let me just interject. The cross was not a surprise to Jesus. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit at the foundation of the world knew that God the Son would one day go to the cross. Told about it in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, after the fall. Presented it to Abraham when all families of the earth would be blessed through him, his seed. Isaiah prophesied it. The psalmist David prophesied of it. The Lord Jesus knew he would go to the cross. It wasn't a surprise. You remember he prayed, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. The spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. Nobody would want that thing to happen to us as humans. And certainly from the human perspective, the Lord Jesus, both 100% human, 100% divine. Amalgamation, the hypostatic union, the joining together of God and man. And as the human being, no one would want that destiny to go to a cross. Temporary destiny it was, but nobody would want that for themselves. Jesus was like the rest of us. He grew weary in his journey. Remember when he passed through Samaria, came to the woman at the well, or the well in Samaria, and the woman came there and he shared the gospel and she got saved. Do you remember he was wearied from his journey? Just like you and I get wearied from our journey. Just imagine if we walked like they walked. Anyway. But I want you to notice here, he knew, verse number one, when Jesus knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. Notice that phrase. He loved them unto the end. Faithful to love. The Lord Jesus Christ is held up as our example, and we're going to look at another one as well. But the Lord Jesus held up as our example of faithful to love. Faithful to love. God's love is unending. And the Lord Jesus, as he ministered to those that followed him, the scripture says that he loved them which were his from the world. They came to him. He loved them. He taught them. He led them. He shared with them. And he loved them right up until the time that he was taken and crucified. Faithful to love. Let's just pause for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, bless now these thoughts. I pray the Holy Spirit would minister to our hearts as we focus on Jesus. I pray that truly what the scripture says, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I pray that truly that'd be true in our hearts. We'd be drawn unto Jesus to love him more because of how much he loved us. I pray that you'd challenge our hearts to be faithful to love. Bless this time now, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. The Lord Jesus Christ is set up as an example here as one who was faithful to love. Now we're going to get into a little bit more of this passage in just a minute with one of our points along the pathway, so don't feel that I'm just kind of jumping over the thoughts here. Maybe there's a couple little questions that came to your mind with some of the phrases. I may answer some of them this morning. I'm not going to touch on every phrase here, but we'll get back into that passage of Scripture. But I want to focus first on the idea of the Lord Jesus being faithful to love. Excuse me a second. He was faithful to love as God wanted to love, first of all, scripturally. He loved scripturally. You know, people think of love as just an emotion today. I feel love, I feel unloved, I feel like loving, I don't feel like loving. But that's not what God's love. God's love is not emotion. God's love does create emotion. I'm moved with emotion when I think about how he loved me. We sang this morning, Jesus Loves Me. What a great song for children, but I noticed that in nursing homes, the seniors love that as well. A senior is anyone who's older than I. And anyway, I found that they love that very well. Jesus loves me. And love is not emotion. In fact, in Romans chapter 13, the Bible says that love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Love, therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Love expressed is acting toward others in a way that's in harmony with how God says we should act. Children are loving their parents when they obey them. Every teenager should say amen, right? Parents are loving their children when they teach them right things and train them and lead them in right things and discipline them when they're doing wrong things. That's loving them. Loving the Lord is being in church. We love Him, and He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Loving the Lord is coming to church. You're expressing love by doing that. Love is expressed by giving. When we do what the Scripture says we ought to do, we are demonstrating love. And Jesus Christ was faithful to love scripturally. There's two main points of love that Jesus was asked about. And He said that we're to love the Lord our God, first and foremost, and then our neighbor as ourself. Jesus perfectly demonstrated that. A love, a total love and commitment for the Heavenly Father. Jesus demonstrated that throughout His ministry. He came to do His will. The Scripture says about Christ prophetically, I delight to do Thy will. And so the Lord Jesus illustrated for us a perfect love, scriptural love, for the Heavenly Father. I'd ask, do you have that type of faithful love that you love the Father like you should, including His Word? Jesus prayed and said to the Father, Thy Word is truth. He was faithful to love scripturally, loving the Father, and then, of course, His neighbor as Himself. The Lord, you know, we have a lot of people today that teach self-love. That is the biggest bunch of baloney I've ever heard in my life. You don't have to be taught to love yourself. You do. You have to be taught to put yourself in the right perspective and love your neighbor, as it's understood, yourself. We love ourselves. And we're to love our neighbors that way, to treat them, the royal rule, the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you, to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus illustrated that. You remember when He came to the woman at the well, I mentioned a moment ago. Do you remember when He came there and she said to Him, she was surprised basically that He, being a Jew, would talk to her, a Samaritan. The history behind that, of course, is the Samaritan people had been transplanted to that region of Israel, Samaria, back when the Assyrian army conquered the northern kingdom. And they transplanted people there, and those people brought their false gods and then amalgamated their worship with the God of Israel. And the Jewish people did not like them for that. And so many of the Jews would not talk to the Samaritan, and the Samaritan woman was kind of surprised that Jesus would sit down and talk with her. Why? He loved the Lord God supremely, but He loved His neighbor as Himself. He was faithful to love scripturally. Let me say this, encourage you. When you think about loving, don't think about the emotion. Think about, what should I do for this person in this situation? You've heard of tough love. There is such a thing as tough love. Sometimes love has to be tough. But you do the right thing toward a person in a scenario, according to the Scripture, and that's loving them scripturally. Jesus did that perfectly. He was faithful to love scripturally. Secondly, He was faithful to love sincerely. To love sincerely. You know, the Bible says, let love be without dissimulation. The word dissimulation meaning hypocrisy. The love that we have is to be the same toward other people, which means we're going to govern our actions toward people around us according to the Scripture. And it's supposed to be sincere, not made up. If someone tells you that you're demonstrating a genuineness about you, take that as a great compliment, amen? Because in that instance, maybe they're seeing, if you're wondering why that light's blinking, my dad used to call me Sonny because I was so bright. And so I guess I'm kind of messing up that light. Anyway, all right, just folks, I thought I'd throw one your way there. But anyway, Jesus was faithful to love sincerely. He called Judas friend. I believe Jesus Christ loved Judas Iscariot, who he knew would betray him, whom he knew had not accepted him. I believe Jesus loved him as much as he loved John, James, Peter, Bartholomew, name the disciples. For God so loved the what? The world. That he gave his only begotten son. Jesus was faithful to love sincerely. You know, sincerity is always brought out. It's demonstrated. It's noticed. You remember when Lazarus died? Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. Jesus had been to their home, Mary and Martha and Lazarus in Bethany. Been to their home. He knew them. And when Lazarus became ill, Mary and Martha called Jesus, texted him or something anyway. But they got a hold of Jesus, and Jesus didn't come for a couple days. Lazarus died. By the time Jesus got there, Lazarus had been 4 days, was in the grave. And he came and talked to Mary and Martha, and of course they both said, if you'd have been here, our brother wouldn't have died. That was a human supposition. It wasn't necessarily true. Jesus told the disciples that he was glad that it happened for their sake. So they learned something. And Jesus, knowing what he would do, just like in this passage, he knew he would go to the cross. But knowing what he would do, when he came to the grave of Lazarus, there with Mary and Martha, Jesus stood there, and the shortest but biggest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. He came to the tomb and wept. And then he raised, of course, Lazarus from the dead. He cried, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes forth, wound in grave clothes. He says, loose him and let him go. Well, what was interesting in that passage, in light of what we're talking about, Jesus loving faithfully, sincerely. When the people around saw Jesus weep at the tomb of Lazarus, the Bible says, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. A sincere love will be a noticeable love. And Jesus' love was sincere and noticeable because he was faithful to love. To love scripturally, to love sincerely. But then also, faithful to love sacrificially. Many people can love when the reciprocation is coming back. But the Lord Jesus Christ's love was a sacrificial love, a total denial of himself for the benefit of others. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I read in Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5 where the Bible says, and from Jesus Christ, who's the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, listen now, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Jesus was faithful to love sacrificially. He gave up heaven's glory. He who was rich became poor so that we who were impoverished spiritually could become rich spiritually. He sacrificed. He gave it all on the cross of Calvary so that we could be saved. Greater love hath no man than this. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, Every step along the pathway was a step of love. Every nail that went into his hand and his feet was a pain brought by love that he had for us. The blood that trickled down from his hands and feet and from his head, from the crown of thorns they drove into his head. And those thorns weren't little briars. They were probably an inch and a half long and driven in, would hit the skull and come back out. The blood running down his face, and when they took that sword and pierced his side and blood and water gushed out, listen, that was all caused because Jesus Christ was sacrificially giving his life out of love for you and for me. Up Calvary's mountain one dreadful morn walked Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross that he might save them from endless loss. Blessed Redeemer, blessed Redeemer. See, now I see him on Calvary tree, wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, blind and unheeding, dying for me. He died for everybody. But we need to look at the cross and think of Jesus on there with the fact in mind that when he did that, he did it for me. And you put your name there. He was faithful to love sacrificially. Think of him as he prayed in the garden before he went there, and I alluded to it earlier, but when he prayed, Father, remove this cup from me, if it be possible. Who wants to go through the cruel beating and the scourge, the cat of nine tails 39 times upon him, and the crown of thorns, the humiliation, and the pain of the crucifixion? And the eternal God facing death in Christ. Who wants to go through that? And he prayed and said, Father, if it be possible, remove this cup. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He was faithful to love sacrificially and saying, I'm willing to go through the plan, and it means that I must die the painful death of the cross, but I'm faithful to love sacrificially. When we think of our own lives, we tend to think in terms of love, greater for those who do wonderful things for us. But you know, love is demonstrated by doing things for people that don't love us back. And many of us have experienced that. But then he is faithful to love by serving. Faithful to love by serving. Notice in John chapter 13 there. And in this passage of Scripture, before the crucifixion, here's Jesus Christ, who, John chapter 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things are made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. Here's Christ, who had part of creation. And here he is now, walking on earth for 3.5 years with the disciples, ready to go to the cross, and he gets down and he washes their feet. What great service. He said he didn't come to get ministered unto. He came to minister. There he was, he girds himself with a cloth. That's why Peter said, I'm not going to let you wash. You're not a servant. I'm not going to let you wash my feet. Oh, yes, he came to serve. In verse number 8, thou shalt never wash my feet, Peter said. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. If you haven't been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you don't belong to him yet. You may hear, depart from me, for I never knew you. Songwriter said, are you washed in the blood? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? He that's not washed hath no part with me, Jesus said. Well, then Simon said, well, then do the whole shebang. Don't just wash my feet, wash my head, my hands. Lord, you just get it covered all. Verse 10, Jesus said unto him, he that's washed, and he is not saved to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and you're clean, but not all. Interesting concept here, and we've certainly mentioned it before, but the thought is this, that once we've been washed in the blood of Jesus, once we become his own, once we've accepted him as our Savior, we've been washed from our sins, we've been made righteous in his eyes, but we're still walking through this world, and we pick up the dust of the sinful world on our feet. And the servant, though one had been washed, would then wash the feet of someone, because walking the dusty roads, they'd pick up the dust of the world on their feet, and the servant would wash the feet. And Jesus said, once you're washed, you're walking through this world and you get a little world's dust on your feet. You're already washed. You're washed, you're clean, but I need to clean your feet. Amen. This is where our confession of sin comes in. We've been born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, but you know what? We're stepping among some dirty things, aren't we? And sometimes we get tainted with it, and we take that to the Lord and say, Lord Jesus, I confess my sin. I'm saved, but I know this is not right. And Jesus, with his towel, washes our feet. Amen. The servant. The Lord Jesus Christ demonstrating here his great capacity to minister, to be faithful to love by serving. It's a great example for us. Faithfulness in loving by serving. So many people today are thinking in terms of, what are people doing for me? How can I get someone to do something for me? These people don't do enough for me, say enough for me. It's not about you. It's about others. Songwriter said, others, Lord, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others, that I might live like thee. Faithful to love by serving. And then he's faithful to love us unendingly. I'm glad that Jesus' love never ends. He loved them unto the end, speaking of the temporary end that was going to happen there. But his love never stopped. As he was on the cross, he loved. As he went to the grave, he loved. As when he rose from the dead, he loved. He told the disciples, tell the disciples and Peter, who had denied him, to meet me in Galilee. He loved. Listen to this. The Lord Jesus Christ loves us unendingly. Romans 8 says this, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He's faithful to love us unendingly. It will never stop, and nothing will ever separate the believer from the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, faithful to love, scripturally, sincerely, sacrificially, by serving, and unendingly. Now, one of the people that Jesus loved was mentioned in that regard several times in Scripture. Oh, he loves us all. Amen. Thank God for the song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. But the Bible mentions that Jesus loved John, the beloved, one loved. It mentions many times that he was loved of Jesus. Listen to these. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by, whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Another verse, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter. After the resurrection, Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper and said, and had said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? There was a disciple named John that was called the Beloved. There was a special, obvious love and affection for John the Beloved, a oneness between them that I think surpassed some of the other relationships. And maybe it's because of John's interaction with him. I'm not for sure. John was one who loved the Lord Jesus Christ all his life after he came to know him, was loved by the Lord Jesus, was given a commission to take care of Jesus' mother. You better love the person that you say take care of mom, amen? And he was given the commission to take care of Jesus' mother when Jesus was on the cross. And he, John, who was called the Beloved, also became faithful to love like Jesus loved. In fact, God used John to teach us. Listen to these verses that God used John to write to us. He that saith, I know him. Can you imagine John now speaking? Having been loved and having loved Jesus. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Listen to John. Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Listen to this, given by God through John. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Listen to this one. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. John speaking. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. John again, we love him because he first loved us. Again, if a man say, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. Again, this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Again, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Again, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Another verse, God used John to write, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. He said, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Then he writes, the elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love, as an older man writing this, whom I love in the truth. And he says, I beseech thee, lady, not as though I write a new commandment to thee, but that which we heard from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment that as you heard from the beginning, you should walk into it. And in 3 John, he writes, the elder to the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Interesting. John, the beloved, loved by the faithful Savior and his faithful love, then is used of God to express how faithful we ought to be to love. God used John to write this phrase too. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you because thou hast left thy first love. John knew and John experienced the faithful love of the Lord Jesus Christ personally. Are you experiencing it? Are you thinking that his love is contingent upon you? It's not. It's contingent upon him. He loves you. You say, well, I've failed in some way. He loves you. Well, I've slipped spiritually. He loves you, Peter. Well, I've never really trusted him as my Savior. Well, he loves you and sacrificially gave his life to save you. John knew and experienced the faithful love of the Lord Jesus Christ personally. He watched Jesus' love. He experienced Jesus' love and then exemplified the love of the Lord being faithful to love as Jesus loved. Interesting story. John Fox, who wrote Fox's Book of Martyrs, you should read it sometime. John Fox wrote something in Fox's Book of Martyrs that he said Clement of Alexandria had recorded about the Apostle John the Beloved. Something that really moved me about him and really connects with the thought in this what we're looking at in this passage, loving to the end. John, of course, as you know, up in years, was imprisoned for preaching the gospel, the Apostle John was, and was set at the Isle of Patmos, at which he received the book of the Revelation that we have. Thank God, amen. He was at the Isle of Patmos, and he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, it says, and God gave him the vision of Revelation, things that are going to happen in the future. When he was released from Patmos, Clement of Alexandria wrote that he came back to the area surrounding Ephesus. And he was visiting a nearby city near Ephesus where there had been a young man whose spirit had touched John years before. And to that new pastor that was there, John had said about this young man, "I solemnly commend this man to thee in the presence of Christ and of the church." And that pastor agreed to take care of this young man whom John really felt God had great things for. He believed he would become a faithful man of God, and then John returned to Ephesus. The pastor took the young man to his care. Time transpired. He baptized him, eventually lessened his oversight of that young man. That young man slowly drifted from spiritual things and began to hang out with some of his old companions. Partied with them, began robbing others with them in the night. Over time, he became the leader of a band of thieves committing terrible crimes. After some time, John returned to this place and asked that pastor about the pledge he had given him. The pastor said, "What pledge?" And then he said, "About the young man, to take care of him. Where is he?" John was given a bad report concerning him, and it totally upset him. He was told that the young man would be cared for, but he wasn't. And now he finds out that the young man had left the things of God, become a part of a gang of robbers, hid out in the mountains. John, the aged John, who is loved by the Lord, who has loved for the Lord, John, nearly 100 years of age, it is written, ripped his garment and said, "A fine keeper of a brother's soul I left here. Get me a horse and a guide." And then he took the horse, about 100 years of age, and rode up into the mountains looking for this young man. When he came to the gang's guard in the mountain, he said to him, "Get me to your captain." When he was brought to the young man, the man at first fled from the aged John, and John chased him, crying, "I will die for thee if need be, as Christ hath died for us. Believe me, Christ has sent me." The young man, touched in his heart, began to weep, got his life straightened out with the Lord, and returned back to the church near Ephesus to serve the Lord. John, at 100 years of age, after having been exiled at Patmos, was faithful to love fervently and follow up on this young man to see that this young man would serve the Lord like he'd promised at an earlier age. Let me encourage all of us here this morning to be faithful to love. The Bible says about love, charity never faileth. John was faithful to love. He accepted Christ's love and then loved others. Jesus was faithful to love you and is faithful to love you today. Will you be faithful to love as He has loved you? Well, let me ask this question. What's missing in between of His faithfulness to love and our being faithful to love is whether or not we've accepted His love. There has to be a time, like John, that we realize God loved us and sent His Son into this world to live a perfect life in our behalf and die a sinner's death in our behalf and raise again from the dead to give us life. We have to come to the place where we realize, as John did, that He loved me and did that for me. And we have to come to Him and say, Lord, I believe You died for me. Please come into my heart and save me. Judas came that close, but never did. John was by Jesus every day, accepted His love, and faithfully loved once he did. Where are you? If you died today, do you know 100% sure you'd go to heaven? You don't, if you've not received the love of Jesus Christ that He died and rose for you. You need to be saved. Jesus said, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I remember the day I got saved. Lord, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart and save me. If you can't recall a time in your life like that, the faithful Savior loves you still, even though you haven't embraced it yet. The Bible says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and will open the door, I will come into him. He knocks at the door of the heart of every saved person and says, I've paid it all. Would you put your trust in me? I'll save you. He's faithful to do that. But that faithfulness cannot reach in and accomplish what it set out to do until you open the door. He doesn't force His way in. Learned a song as a kid, one door and only door, one, and yet the sides are two, inside and outside. On which side are you? You've got to step into Him or invite Him into you. Whatever analogy you want to use, He's there today. If you're here this morning and you've never personally received Christ as your Savior, that's what you need to do. Amen? What a wonderful thing. And I'm glad that we have a Savior that's faithful to love. And people need Christians that are faithful to love. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Your word this morning, and I pray the Holy Spirit would work in our hearts. I thank You that You convicted me of my sin, and I realized I was headed to hell, and that Jesus died for me. Thank You that He saved me when I called. And Lord, I pray if there's anybody here that's never personally put their trust in Jesus, that they do it today while they have opportunity. Thank You that You're faithfully loving them even now. And then, Lord, help us all that have received the love of Christ and been saved, help us to love faithfully, do right toward others according to Your word. Help us to do that. Help us to show Your love that others might come to Christ. Help us to love faithfully like John the Beloved loved others. Minister to our hearts, I pray. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. No one's going to come to you personally. Our relationship with God is a personal thing that's reflected publicly, but it is a personal thing. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never personally trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't wait till all your questions are answered. By faith, we understand. We put our trust in what we do hear, what we do believe, and God opens up our understanding in other things, believe me. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never personally received Christ as your Savior. Why don't you see Him hanging on the cross as a personal thing that He did for you, paying for your sins so you wouldn't have to go to hell? Why don't you see it as His love that's faithful? And why don't you invite Him into your heart today? Lord, I'm a sinner. I realize I'd be headed to hell, but You loved me and You died for me, so please come into my heart and save me. You make that a prayer with Him sincerely. He'll reach down from heaven, save your soul, come in your heart to live, give you eternal life, give you His righteousness, take you to heaven someday. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. How many would say, Pastor, in all honesty, I know that I've put my trust in Jesus Christ. I know He has saved me. I thank Him for His unending love, that He's faithful to love. Who'd slip up their hand this morning? Amen. God bless you all over. Thank you. I wonder, is there anyone here today who would say, Pastor, as a Christian, I pray and ask God, and I'm going to pray and ask God to help me to be faithful to love as I'm loved. Pray for me. Who'd slip up their hand? Yes, God, help me to be faithful to love. Thank you. I wonder who today would say, Preacher, I'm not sure. Or maybe I know I'm not saved. And I really want to get this all-important eternal matter settled in my heart. Pray for me. I won't come to you. No one else is looking. Who'd just slip up their hand? Pray for me. I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I'd like to know that. If it's real, if it's true, I want to know. Just a moment, we're going to stand together and sing. And, you know, maybe you couldn't raise your hand, but you'd be willing to talk privately. When we stand and sing, you come down to the front, grab my hand. We'll go off to the side room and have prayer together, talk about it. Catch me after the service. When we stand together and sing, Christian, maybe you say, I need to be a little bit more like John and love like he was loved. You'd come this morning and you'd pray and just say, Lord, I've let bitterness set in. I need to love as You've loved. Help me. Let's let go and let God. Shall we stand together, please? Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd bless this invitation time. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing, I'll be down.